Bring your greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Trust that our worship to God can continue. The song we sang, Drinking from the Springs of Living Water, if we would do that, that would solve a lot of the subject I'm looking at this morning as we gather around God's Word. If we can make that a part of us the way we should, it takes care of a lot of things. And my subject also relates to what Carlita shared on the one subject she had, and it'd be interesting if we could just have that this morning in relation to relationships and doing relationships God's way. I don't know. I guess I would say the subject this morning would be from whence come fightings. And that sounds pretty negative. I look at it as more a preventative message, or a message of examination and looking at ourselves and understanding our inner beings, understanding ourselves. Many Christians are disturbed about world conditions and the way things are around us, and it's easy for us to forget that we have some of those same inclinations, we have the same nature within us, and it's very important that the church, God's church, sets a good example, and that the carnal strivings that go on around us aren't coming from within God's people, and don't have basis or justification within God's people as God's people live together. I guess basically the thing I'm impressed with myself, and I would like to impress us with, is that we have within ourselves, we have the potential to create conflict, to not get along with other people. And as we follow God's way, as we drink at the springs of living water, those things are pretty much taken care of. As we all draw closer to God, we draw closer to ourselves. There's a number of many different parallels and things we understand to help us understand that. And so what I have to say this morning is nothing revolutionary or new, but I just want to examine ourselves, some of the roots that we can have within ourselves that we want to catch before they become problems, before they destroy relationships, before they make things difficult within the brotherhood or with those who we relate to. Church is made up of individuals. Each one must take his responsibility. Each one of us has the potential to create problems or to be a peacemaker, to be someone who brings things together, who draws the brotherhood together on common ground. And it affects each one. It starts with the leaders of the church and affects each one in the pews. 1 Corinthians 6:4, if then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. 1 Corinthians 6:6, but brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. And so God's purpose, God's vision for the church is for his members to get along, for them to work out the things that come up. If there's difficulties, the least esteemed in the church should be able to figure them out, should be able to give advice and to solve the problem. God does not intend for his church to be a place of contention. And we know, following some notes from many years ago, I mean, we could look at many different illustrations of contention within church, within church life. Leaders that can't get along, others, other divisions that start various places. And we know that's not God's plan. What sets that in motion? What brings that about, and what can we do to make sure that we don't start something like that, or that our relationships don't become something that becomes divisive. I know the tendency is here at Providence because I'm here at Providence, and I need to be careful of myself. I need to judge myself. All right. This problem often has deep roots, and if we don't solve the root of the problem, if we don't solve some of the deeper, sometimes we can suppress our reactions and our feelings to a certain extent. But if we don't truly have the mind of Christ, these things have a way of coming to the forefront again and not going away. Let's turn to James chapter 4. I'm going to read that chapter, and we'll draw a number of thoughts for that as we go through the message this morning. James chapter 4. Again, God's purpose is for us to, for the church to work together for His glory, to accomplish His will. And so we just want to look at some things, some indications in our lives that can help us to weed out problems before they become significant. James chapter 4, and I'm going to read the chapter at this time. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but He giveth more grace? Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Just, it's addressed to God's people among you, and speaking to the Christians, speaking to those that should know better, but have some problems. They're not taken care of the way they should. It's a source. There's a solution to their problems. Verse 2 and 3. But they're not going to the source that takes care of those problems. All right, I want to look at a couple of sources of strife within the church, or things, and these are basic things, and yet I just want to evaluate them or just highlight them for our evaluation. First one would be anger. And anger is when we feel that someone has violated our rights. We feel that someone has done something against us. They've taken something away from us that's our right. If we don't have any rights, anger is a subject in itself. If we don't have any rights, it's hard to become angry. It's hard to be violated and have your anger aroused. Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirreth up strife, a furious man aboundeth in transgression. When we consider our rights to be violated and we allow ourselves to become angry, there's not, it says he abounds in transgression. There's many problems that come from that, many dangers that we see. So I guess the first thing is to watch how we look at it when other people violate what we consider to be our rights. And that can happen many different ways in churches. We, from simple things, we can consider to be our right. And when people change them or do them, take care of them, we want to be careful not to allow our feelings to interfere. Many different things. Someone taking our place on the bench, our normal spot where we sit, to maybe taking our job or being able to do something better than we can, or being asked when we think we should be asked to do something, or maybe someone forgot about what they asked us to do, or we did something and don't get recognition. There's many different things like that ways that we can feel violated. But question is, can we recognize those things and lay them down before we allow our spirit to become angry? Second thing would be pride, and this chapter speaks a good bit about that. Verses 10 through 16 speak a good bit about humbling ourselves in the sight of the Lord. And there's many different ways that helps pride. When we have pride in our lives, that tends to make strife. How do we look at other people? How do we compare ourselves to others? And it's just so easy for our nature to look at others and see the weak spots in them, and we think about the strong spots that we have, the strong strengths that are in our lives, and it's so easy for us to look down on others. If we can realize our position before God, if we can humble ourselves in the sight of God and allow Him to work in us, it makes such a huge difference in our relationships with others. Speak not evil. Verse 11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. I haven't studied, I'm not prepared to go in depth exactly what all is implied there and what all that touches, what all that affects. But I know that in a general way, we need to be careful what we say about each other. And if we are quick to condemn others without understanding their motives, without understanding what caused them to do it, if we're quick to judge them, it does not go well. We need to be careful. We need to give others the benefit of the doubt like we would like to have, like we would like them to give us. The couple other verses, Proverbs 17:19, he that loveth transgression, he loveth transgression that loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. 1 Timothy 6:4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. And Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Some various ways that some of those things can be emphasized or encouraged rather than discouraged. We often like to encourage team effort. We were talking about thanking and praising people this morning for their accomplishments, and that's right and proper. But it's good to encourage teamwork. Encourage, sometimes on the job, people, employers find it necessary not just so much to encourage or reward individual accomplishment, but to reward group accomplishments, to encourage people to work as a team. And some of that same thing. Do we set up ourselves as the big I, or do we see ourselves working and a part of a group and someone who can serve others and work with others? Third thing to consider would be careless or unkind words. Proverbs 18:6, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for strokes. And we know how easy it is for us to say things when we don't intend for them to be hurtful, but depending on the other person's situation, sometimes they're not taken the way we meant, especially when the other person is in an emotional situation, when they're going through sickness or death or something like that, that there's many sensitive areas, sensitive things that they're sensitive to. And it's important that we watch our words and be careful about our words, especially in those situations. And as we're on the other end, we need to understand that people don't understand our situation, probably don't understand our situation, probably didn't think through what they were saying. And we should not be quick to allow those things to irritate us. But we need to be careful. The words we say are important and have an effect on our relationships within the church. Fourth thing would be, fourth source of strife within the church would be a lack of God's love. If we have, Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love recovereth all sins. The response of evil to evil feeds strife. And we could point out many illustrations in national news in the last week or whatever. Many, and you can probably think of many illustrations in your own life. But when people respond out of evil intent, when that's reacted to with the same kind of malice, the same kind of hatred, it's responded like that, it just escalates. It feeds the fire tremendously. But when someone makes an unkind remark and you respond properly, you let it fall or you give a soft answer, it can de-escalate that situation tremendously. It makes a huge difference where that ends up. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. God expects us, our relationships, to be seasoned with his love. 1 John 3:10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And we know that our love for each other demonstrates our love for God. I don't have that verse right in front of me, but I think I probably have it down here later on. But our demonstration of love for each other demonstrates our love for God. Ephesians 4:30-32, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We know how it is. We think of two young people when they start dating and those kind of things. When there's love there, a person can't do anything wrong. When you get to the point when people have hatred in their heart, neighbors can't get along, we know that no matter, they can't comb their hair right. You know, you can't do anything right. And so love really affects our relationships and really, is the oil in our relationships to help us to get along. And we need that. We need to make sure that we remember God's love to us and allow that to work in our hearts to get along with others as we should. And as we're talking about this, as we're talking about the effects, as we're talking about getting along with others, we're obviously not talking about issues of right or wrong, dealing with others or confronting others when they're in something wrong. I'm not talking about those kind of things, but I'm talking about things that are a lot simpler and yet can become a division, a wall between us. Fifth thing I've down is meddling or being a busybody, interfering or looking into other people's business. One way to avoid strife is to mind your own business, to take care of your own things. We each have, is anyone here that doesn't have enough to do themselves? Doesn't have things to work on themselves? Doesn't have things to take care of? Seems like we each have work, have things that we need to be working at, and yet it's a lot easier to fix other people's problems. It's a lot easier to work at them, take care of their issues. Proverbs 20 verse 3, it's an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Proverbs 26:17, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh the dog by the ears. Just encouragement for us to look at our own problems and not get too quickly involved in the issues that others face. Can be a way of helping to make our relationships go smoothly. Sixth thing is a contentious spirit. Looking for differences or highlighting differences. It's such a peacemaker is someone who looks for things that are similar, looks for ways that we can get people together. You know, each of us has differences, and if we capitalize on those things, it can be a chisel between us. It can divide us. It can split us. It can drive us apart. Contentious spirit is one who looks for differences and makes a big deal about them, highlights them. Several verses, Psalms and Proverbs talks a good bit about that. Those which imagine mischiefs in their heart continually are they gathered together for war. They're imagining things in their heart. They're imagining things they don't know to be true. But they're going on those imaginations. Proverbs 26:21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Put wood on the fire, it makes it go, makes it burn. And if you get a contentious person, someone who is good at bringing out those differences, finding those differences and making a highlight of them, You bring him close to somewhere that has a little bit of strife, and it will just fan into a fire, become a lot bigger. Proverbs 19:13, a foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. The call for us to not be contentious, not to highlight problems and be contentious like that. Proverbs 21:9, it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Each one of us can become someone that's not very desirable if we allow our spirit to become contentious, and we allow our spirit to become someone who looks for those problems and makes a lot of issue of problems. Can divide things. The Bible speaks a good bit about that. Another thing that can cause divisions or can cause contentions in church is a love of earthly things, a love of earthly things. Our desire for earthly things can, not being content, not being satisfied with what we have, but looking for more, has caused strife between many people. Starting back with Abraham and Lot, when they were there trying to feed their cattle, and there didn't seem to be enough. There was conflict between them. Because of that, it made a division. They needed to separate. And we can, there's many different, if we allow our heart to be set on earthly things, it can cause problems and it can cause divisions in even among God's people. We want to use our earthly things to buy eternal value, not to destroy. Thinking about Abraham and Lot, you know, what did they each give up and what were they truly after? Abraham gave up some things and found contentment and the life that he was supposed to live. Lot got, at the sake of destroying a relationship, for the sake of separating himself from his godly uncle, he got earthly wealth, but he came at a great cost, and cost him dearly. One other thing that sometimes causes contention would be a leadership vacuum, let's call it, and think of that some in relation to Moses back in Deuteronomy 1, verses 12 through 18, where he was, let me just turn there and make sure I have that right. Deuteronomy 1, 12 to 18. Yeah, it's the account of Moses there. How can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? Take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And ye answered me and said, the thing which thou hast spoken is good for us to do. So I took the chief of your tribes, wise men and known, and made them heads over you, captains over thousands, captains over hundreds, captains over fifties, captains over tens, and officers among your tribes. And I charged your judges that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren and judge righteously between every man and his brother and the stranger that is with him. You shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of the face of man. For the judgment is God's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. And I command you at that time all the things which ye should do. And it was to solve a problem. It was to solve contention that they were experiencing. So he set up leadership, set up direction, ways that they could solve their problems, that they could get an authoritative answer. And it would put them to rest. It would put the problem to rest and solve some of their relationship issues. The talking about things that cause our carnal nature to come up, to rise up within us and divide us. Now, just a couple verses on the call to get along. 2 Timothy 2:14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them that before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Don't strive about words that really doesn't make a difference in the end. Really doesn't benefit anyone. Foolish striving. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. 2 Timothy 2:24. 1 Corinthians 3:3. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? We're supposed to grow up from that, put aside our carnality, and stop our envying and strife and divisions. 2 Corinthians 12:20. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, that I should be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. He didn't want to come and find those things. He didn't want to come and see them in the midst of those kind of problems. 1 John 2:9 to 11. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. God has called us to the light, called us to love each other, to get along with each other. I'm not just talking about superficial love, but we're talking about love that helps us each become more like Christ. We don't want hypocritical love, where we express love by the word of mouth, but underneath there's contentions and envying and strife in our hearts. Envy isn't something that always shows up. It often does before long, but it can be something, it's part of the thing we're looking for this morning, looking for those things that are underneath the surface that cause problems eventually. Where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. We might say we get along with those in the congregation, but we have problems with this member and we have problems with that member. This person doesn't do these things right. This person has some issues. What does that show about us? And what can we do to solve that? What can we do to help them? And again, I was impressed recently, if we really sit down and look at it objectively, some people we have a list and it seems like all we can see is their faults. But if you really sit down objectively and start writing out their positive points, you'd be surprised how big a list you can get. You'd be surprised. The person you think has problems, and it seems like that's all you can see. You sit down and write out the positive points in their lives. It's often our viewpoints get pretty biased, and surprising how clouded they get. A grudge is a dislike of someone of long standing. In other words, grudge is something that when you dislike them for a long period of time, and for first while it's hidden, but after a while it comes out. First John 3:18 to 22. Read a couple verses here. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Love, not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It will show our relationships with each other within the church are going to show what our love truly is like. And are going to show what our hearts truly are like. God is grieved when I have wrong attitudes. Bad attitudes should not be in the church. And God is faithful to help us to understand our hearts, to see those attitudes if we want to. God is faithful to help us to see ourselves and to work on those problems. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle, something that we want to stay away from. We want to avoid at all costs. Let's pray.